Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and Remy Motti. Guys, we are kicking off. Today kicks off Season 3 of Faith on the Field Show. And this is a milestone for us. When we started this 2 years ago on April 6, 2017, with Michael Jack Schmidt, Hall of Famer.
Come on.
Schmitty as our first guest. And we've had some different changes. I mean, I'm thankful for everyone who has been in this studio with us along the way, from Pastor Phil Moser. Yeah. We had Pastor Ted Winsley, Eagles chaplain, has stepped in. Pastor Rob Pinckney, former Phillies chaplain, has stepped in. Pastor Scott Foreman has been here. We've had so many different people. Kyle joined us. You did a couple episodes, and then you joined us in September of 2017, right after we had that awesome event. And it's been the constants, you and I, Doug. Remy has come on board now this year. And it's just been such an incredible ride. Cool. 3 years now, we're starting this going on. We thank everybody at the end of the show, but as we're starting this, like, I can't help but I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, thankful for everyone who's made this happen.
God is
thankful
good.
For all the God sponsors who've made
Absolutely
this happen.
Unbelievable.
Thankful for everyone who saw our vision.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're doing something here. There's other shows and different ways and different outlets for people to talk about faith and talk about athletes who are believers and want to share their faith. We're doing it in a different way, guys.
Yeah.
We really do. We do it in a different way. I love the way we do it. It's a pretty cool thing to be able to have a show, discuss a topic, discuss a theme, have an athlete on, and I'm just looking forward to the future, the next 3 years, the next 10 years, the next 13 years, and I appreciate you guys being part of this.
Well, man, we're really thankful, Rob, that you and Remy were willing to take a step out in faith 3 years ago and really begin to work off the stirring of the Holy Spirit inside of you to really wrestle with that question: how do I bring this beautiful message of Jesus to my marketplace? And instead of leaving your marketplace to go do something that people would view as full-time ministry, you actually brought full-time ministry into the marketplace, and I'm thankful for that. As a pastor, I'm so encouraged by that, because I that's what I want to. That's what I believe each and every one of us is called to do as men and women of God. It's not to leave our marketplace to do ministry. It's actually to bring the ministry of Jesus into that marketplace, because you're reaching people that in your arena that I'd never be able to reach as a pastor.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beautiful thing. So thank you so much for being willing to do that. Rob and Remy, I appreciate it so much.
And I know I've said this many times along the way, and sometimes, you know, you assume people have heard previous episodes or have heard you speak somewhere else. In case this is the first time you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, we'll go back and listen to all our previous episodes.
Right.
But in case it's the first
time, and
you hear Kyle talking about taking Jesus to your marketplace, man, it was September 2016, I believe it was, and my first ever conversation with you, I just reached out to you on social media. I'm like, man, this guy is he's spirit filled.
Yeah,
and we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. But I could see he's spirit filled, and I want to have a conversation. And I said to you, Pastor Kyle, we're sitting there having our coffee at our favorite place, which I want to get into their sippy cups. What is that all about? But we'll talk
and
about
the paper straws.
Paper straws. Now, come
paper
on.
Straws.
See, they give me a sippy cup in Florida. Like, I'm a kid. I need a sippy
cup.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
I know what to do with it.
I didn't either, by the way, the first time.
I don't want to digress. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, Pastor Kyle, you know, I love what I do. I've been blessed with this opportunity. You know, I'm a sports writer for the AP. Just an awesome job. I love my company. I have opportunities to do radio, TV, all this stuff, but man, I want to be more of a disciple for the Lord. Like, I just want to share the gospel. How do I do it? And you were like, well, you don't have to quit your job.
Absolutely.
He gave you that platform. He blessed you with that platform, not to leave it,
but
to take Jesus there. And that's where this idea formed a couple years ago. And here we are, season three. And I took that idea, Pastor Kyle. I'm always going to be thankful for that conversation with
me
you. Remy's really thankful. I took that idea, and Doug, man, once I mentioned it to you, you ran with it, and you made it happen, man. So thank you for bringing on. You know, he handles all this business stuff.
I know Doug crushes it behind the scenes that no one sees, right? Exactly.
You're doing all this business stuff, man.
But you know, Robbie, you know, I appreciate
just being a teammate with you and going through this journey. It's been amazing. A couple of things that mean the most to me, just doing men's groups and Bible studies and going to churches and speaking to people. And, you know, even when you look at Birds of Prey, which is really a summary of our first season, of the Eagles run to the Super Bowl, and just how God's worked things out more so than we could ever have planned out. You know, when you think of a business plan, right? But when God's in control of it and he takes the lead, he just opens up doors that you could never imagine going through. And so it's a privilege to be here with you guys and to be able to speak and to meet people on the street and say, hey, this is how the show's changed my life, or, God spoke to me through this, or I was able to share it with somebody else. That's the overall goal, not just to, encourage people to listen to sports, but to give these guys a platform, which they're using more and more. And we saw that all through the March Madness season, where these kids are winning games but giving glory to God. Yeah, coaches amazing. Are doing the same thing.
How cool was that?
It's been amazing.
Congratulations to the University of Virginia. They go from last year being the first number one seed eliminated by a 16, and they flipped that script. And this year they win, they defeat Texas Tech. But for us, the coolest thing had to be when Coach Tony Bennett's standing there on stage. I appreciate you sending me the clip, because I was covering a Phillies Washington Nationals baseball game that night, and I kind of missed everything that was going on. You send me that clip of Coach Bennett talking about, hey, I prayed for these guys, and I listened to, what was it, Hills and Valleys, that song?
Wells. He said played that for them. Wells,
we've been
the
through
game.
We're not alone through the hills. We're not alone in the valleys.
Yep.
Our Lord Savior's there with us.
And one of the questions that people ask them, they're like, Coach, how do you motivate these guys? How do you keep these guys focused when you lose to a 16 seed and you're the first number one seed to ever do that? And then you progress to potentially winning the national championship. He goes, I prayed for them.
Wow.
You know, and how awesome is that, that God uses the difficult times to make the great times even sweeter?
It was amazing, I think, watching the entire tournament and seeing people both, again, just like we see with the NFL so often, at the end of the games, whether they won or they lost, huddles gathered together and guys praying. And I think that's it's just, again, one of those things that we're seeing in the midst. There's this juxtaposition about the way that people view athletes today between the guys that are going out and having, the party scene and everything else on one side and steroids and all the shoe issues, right, on the college basketball sides. And then you see these young men. These young women as well, because the women's national champion, shout out to Baylor University as well.
True that.
Who, are taking their faith live on the field, whether they win or lose. Man, this is who we are. And I think that's a powerful statement that is a foundation for their life.
Yeah, I don't want to say we're changing the way they're being perceived. We're just a small part of it. We're a small vehicle. They have opportunities to also let people know who they really are. But it's awesome to just be able to, in our own little way, show a different side of these athletes and the Christian side of these.
There
guys.
Were so many guys that won games, and it was very intentional that when they were interviewed after the game, and it was multiple teams, right? And there's so many great games that happened during March Madness, buzzer beaters.
Absolutely. You're a basketball geek, aren't you, a little bit?
Well, you know what? My family got into it, so my daughter Paige won the bracket when Virginia won.
Wow.
I had Aubrey, my 8-year-old, was crying when her teams were losing. Everybody was
He's got his girls filling out brackets. I can't even get mine to go to a baseball game. Hey, daddy, okay?
Here's
a proud
moment. With ice cream. It works.
A very proud moment. Show and tell day at school, right? So one of my girls, she's taken, I don't know, whatever it was. The other one, she wanted to take this big giant camper. I said, do you really want to take that? So it was kind of like I didn't want to carry it for her. I was like, hey, how about you take the confetti from the field when the Eagles won the Super Bowl? Yeah, daddy, I'll take that. Yeah, so we put it in a Ziploc bag, and Melina's taking confetti from the field when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So you have them filling out brackets. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, man.
No, and you know who's the leader of that is my wife. My wife, if Texas Tech won, my wife would have won the bracket. Virginia won, so Paige won the bracket. And I said, Chris, I was like, are you going to root for Paige? It'd be really. She's like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? There's no way I want to win this. But, going back to the other point, it was just great to see guys that answered questions right afterwards and saying, not just, hey, I want to give glory to God, right? But really saying, God brought me through all the tough times. Yeah. Even to the point where I've seen some guys say, hey, what was the question again? You know, they were so intentional about making sure that that was the first thing that came out of their mouth, that it wasn't even like, don't worry about the game, don't worry about anything else. I need to give glory to God. And I was really impressed with
either that. Either that or the question was so just like mundane and like, what was that again? What, by the way?
Let me take it from here.
Guys, I'm really excited about this episode. We have New York Jets offensive lineman Kelvin Beachum on. We'll hear from him next segment. We're going to talk about, on this show, the secret ingredient. Everyone's always looking for that special ingredient, whether it's the secret to success or the secret recipe. I'm blessed to have a wife who, and I'm not just saying this because you're here sitting across from me, she's a phenomenal cook. You guys,
yes.
I think Doug, you've tasted
some
of
it,
right?
It's been a long time.
That's a little hint, you know? That's a little
too many pictures on social media, not enough taste testing.
Right? Hey, if Doug wants it. But she's got all kinds of secret ingredients that she never tells me about them. You never tell me about them. Sometimes you get me to eat something that I think I never had, like that. We had that whole.
I trick you all day long.
Yeah, we had that issue with the mustard. I never had mustard before in my life. I never had a condiment. She's like, I don't know about that. She marinated a chicken in mustard. Like,
I did.
Sauce.
I love that. Mustard. He's had everything.
Yeah.
All the stuff he thinks he didn't have, he really did.
Yeah. I love it.
You have those secret ingredients. You have those secret ingredients, and they change the outcome of food, the way it tastes. It enhances your eating experience, your culinary experience, but those don't change your life. And we're talking about, in this episode, we're going to talk about the secret ingredient that can be a life changer.
As you said, I love to cook, right? I love to make a good meal. But what I love more about cooking is the sauce that goes with it.
Agreed. 100%. Yes. Yeah, absolutely right.
It's the sauce that goes along with the meal.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I love a yogurt sauce with all my red meats. I love a tahini sauce with my fish. You love tahini? Tahini's amazing.
Love tahini.
It's a good thing we love to eat.
Exactly. So it's amazing. Rob doesn't eat tahini sauce, by the way. It's so disturbing.
It's just wrong.
But anyways.
Everybody has the right to be wrong, Remy, right?
Right. But the thing is, you guys, I feel like that sauce is what makes everything just better.
Yeah.
It gives it that oomph. It gives it that extra just, okay, what's in this? Yeah. What's that special ingredient? What is that special sauce that makes everything just better? But have you ever thought, you ever like look at somebody and go, man, everything seems to go so wrong for this person, yet they're so happy all the time. They have a reason to praise. They have a reason to smile. But from the outside, it looks like everything is going just wrong for them. Mm. That right there makes you wonder, what is their special sauce? What's the special ingredients? And in my opinion, it's all about the Holy Spirit. That's the special sauce. And that's, for me, that's my special ingredient.
Absolutely.
That's the secret, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the secret to everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I look at the Holy Spirit as something that is so often misunderstood in the church. And I love that in our interview coming up, Kelvin will talk about the three in one, the Holy
Absolutely.
Trinity. We hear the term spirit-filled. I used it earlier on purpose when I said I looked at you as someone who's filled with the Spirit. You know, we talk about being led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. But there's so many misconceptions about what is the Holy Spirit. Like, one is, people always refer to the Holy Spirit, not always, but some refer to it as an it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is not an it.
Yes.
It's a who.
Yeah.
It's a one. It's a someone. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we all have that access to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am going to leave you with the one, the advocate, to help you. And how awesome is it? How great is it that we all have access?
Yes.
We all have this access to the Holy Spirit, but we don't know to invite the Holy Spirit in, to become filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Kyle, you know, there's so many misconceptions. There are so many different ideas and thoughts about the Holy Spirit. How do we enter into a relationship where we can too be referred to as, hey, yeah, he's spirit-filled.
Right. Yeah, I mean, first let me just say that, you know, without the Spirit moving in someone's life, you can't be saved. And what I mean by that is that no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. So if anyone has come to an encounter with Jesus, they've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not what you're talking about, Rob, isn't the lack of the Spirit's presence in someone's life. It may be the distance in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. So just like with Jesus, we invite him into a relationship.
Yeah.
And there's the Spirit of God is a relationship. You know, Jesus talks about it's an up and down relationship. He gives access to the Father. Why does he give access to the Father? Because he is desiring for us to have our own relationship with the Father through him. But he also is having his Spirit inside of us because he wants to have a relationship, us to have a relationship with the Spirit, his Spirit that's inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so there really is, you used to talk about the beginning of it, there's an invitation to be able to say, Holy Spirit, I want to have a relationship with you. I know you're here. I know you're already present, and I know you're already moving. It's not your lack of attention in my life. It's my lack of attention in your presence that causes the distance. And you know what you mentioned it a little bit earlier in John chapter 16 verse 7. Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Right? It's to your advantage that I go away. Why? Well, so that I can send my Spirit. And that's an interesting statement because when you think of the natural, He's saying it's better for you guys to not have me here. It's better for you to, like when we think about it, we're like, man, if Jesus was only here, he'd tell me. If Jesus was only here, my life would be better.
And that's why they were so upset about, right?
And he's saying, no, it's to your advantage that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So I do believe sometimes as men and women of faith, or as people just in general, because we're created, we are physical beings and spiritual beings. Jesus, you know, the truth is sometimes we are living at a disadvantage when we are living only by Jesus's word and not with his Spirit. So there are a lot of people in Jesus's culture who are living according to biblical word, biblical standard. But Jesus said, look, you're living at a disadvantage because you're not living in Spirit and in truth. It's not Spirit or truth, right? It's not a wackadoo weirdo life, right? That I'm just going to go live by myself in a cave, me and the Spirit, doing our Spirit dance, you know, shooting our bows and picking our grapes, right? It really is a both moment. So I think that's where we need to come to in this progression is being able to say, Jesus is saying there is a life that is to your events. It's kind of like having a GPS in your car. And not using it. You might be able to eventually find your way someplace, but you're going to go through a whole lot of wrong roads to get there instead of just found the GPS. The GPS is the Spirit of God's presence in our life. Yeah.
I grew up learning that we become filled with the Holy Spirit. We're anointed through the sacrament of confirmation, whether 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, depends on where it is that you're going to school, when a priest, a bishop, a cardinal anoints your forehead with oil. But you know, as we go through that, and as I have friends who go through that, and their children are going through that, and all that, that's something where we're now saying that someone is doing unto you in order for, you know, that symbol makes you filled with the Holy Spirit. But where in that part, as we were talking about, like you invite the Spirit in into that relationship. What does it say, Pastor Kyle, about that idea? And I know you just went over all of that, like that specific idea that it's that moment when this person anoints you with oil. Now you're filled. And before we get into that real quick, I'm going to say this, and I apologize. I didn't even clear this with you before when I went to talk about it. I got a tattoo on my right thigh. Okay. I got a tattoo on my right thigh of the dove. And above it says, which we all know is the symbol that represents the Holy Spirit. And it says, Holy Spirit, guide me. Because I thought back 10, 15 years ago, I thought the Holy Spirit will guide me in my as I was going through everything that I was going through. I was going through a divorce. I was going through some issues. I was going through. I wasn't quote unquote saved. I hadn't accepted the Lord as my Savior. I was involved in religion. Yeah. I was a religious person. So I'll never forget these words. After I had that tattoo, my ex-wife said to me, "The Holy Spirit will never guide you if you don't allow him to guide you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is so true.
But it's cool, Rob. You were still seeking. So that's the beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit was moving inside of you before you knew him. And that's the beautiful thing about God. He's wooing us in this. And so that's the best expression that you had as a point of contact was, all right, I'll tattoo it on me, right? I mean, the beautiful thing is on the outside of that, you were actually responding, I believe, to the wooing of the Holy Spirit to where your knowledge was. And so, you know,
and even though it took me 5 or 6 more years after that to really get it, to really develop that relationship. So there wasn't just a wasted tattoo.
No, I mean, it's all good.
It's all good.
You got something. Like
that tattoo is just like that oil at some level. It's a touch point of faith. And so when you talked about confirmation, you know, the thing about confirmation, it is, it tends to be, the family's faith for somebody saying, this is, I'm gonna, just like when we have
baptism.
Children baptized, exactly. Yeah. It's family's faith that is saying, I believe this for someone. And I think there is some power in that. What I would say is this, that the Bible is completely about personal relationships with Jesus. You know, we have a saying, and it's stupid and silly, but it's just true. There are no guest houses in heaven, right? I can't get there on my grandmom's faith or my aunt's faith.
Yeah.
You know, it's a personal relationship. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. So I would say, you know, the anointing of oil is a touch point of faith for someone and can be a touch point of faith for someone. But we need to stop and be able to say, Holy Spirit, I want to have a relationship with you because Jesus, you said it is to my advantage. You said you would send your Spirit. You said you would be my counselor, my guide, live inside of me and lead me to all truth.
We talk about when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and this is often a confusing point for some people. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10 says, "For to one," and this is Paul saying in there, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit; to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit; to another, faith by the same Spirit; to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit; to another, the working of miracles; to another, prophecy; to another, discerning of spirits; to another," and this is the one that freaks people out, "different kinds of tongues," the ability to speak, and then to some, the interpretation of tongues. And people often get confused with the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as he sees how God wants us to have them and how he wants us to serve him. And I think sometimes maybe we get caught up in what spiritual gift we have and then only want to serve God in that area, right, of our ministry.
Yeah.
That's not the way it was intended. Like, okay, if I have this gift or I have this ability, it doesn't mean I can ignore all other areas of ministry or serving God. And God's calling me in different ways. And he may give you one gift and you one gift. And I think sometimes people may get too caught up in how, which gift do I have? Which gift do you have? Which gift do they have? Man, you're smiling. I don't know, Kyle.
I think Doug, hop in, but I think my greatest experience throughout church of dealing with people who come to church and people who don't is that they actually don't believe that they have any spiritual gifts. I actually don't. I think the majority of people that I've come in contact
they
with
don't actually believe.
And I don't mean they just don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I think that even if they do believe in the Holy Spirit activity in their life, they don't actually think that they have been given a spiritual gift. And it's probably one of the greatest lies the enemy has ever done to blind the eyes of Christians to say, you're saved. You may be going to heaven. You may have a relationship with Jesus or you may not. But at the end of the day, that's the best thing you have right there, because you are useless. You look at the shame you have on your life. Look at everything. Why would God give somebody a gift to someone like you? So I really do believe, at least in my experience, the majority of people inside and outside of church don't believe at all that they have any sort of supernatural gift given by the Holy Spirit.
But where's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life if you've really received it? There has to be a manifestation. There has to be a fruit.
Yep.
Because he's the living water. And we need to see a fruit from that water in our lives.
Yep.
And I have a personal experience. Because before that experience, it was exactly the way you were saying, like, well, I've heard of it.
Right, right.
Never seen it. So I guess it doesn't exist, people. Yep. This was 5 years ago. This was on a Sunday, August 17th at 1:30 p.m., 2014. I was talking to my sister on FaceTime, and she was telling me about someone that she prayed for, and she prayed with, and he got healed from something.
Beautiful.
Don't remember what it was. And at the time, she was going through her own journey, and I was like, what is this? Like, what's happening? Are you okay? Like, what's going on with you? And she was telling me all about these awesome things that are happening in her life, and I was just like, what is that you have? Whatever it is, I want
what's
it.
What's the secret sauce?
Yeah, what's the secret sauce? What's the secret ingredient?
Give me that secret
ingredient. I want the secret sauce, okay? And she's like, okay, let's pray. Yep. So my babies at the time, they weren't even one yet.
I wasn't home.
They were napping, and he was at work. I was like, praise Jesus, they're actually napping. Let's do this,
yes,
sister.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So I took my iPad, put it next to me on a couch, and I sat there, and I was like, whatever happens, happens. Let's do this. So she started praying. I just closed my eyes, and I start praying with her. And just something came over me that I just never in my life experienced before. And I just felt a flood of the presence of God. I just felt so heavy in the most beautiful way. I could not move for 2 hours. We were on this call for 2 hours. Wow. And I just felt the presence fill me. It broke all the walls. I cried for a long time. It was like an ugly cry. And I just kept telling her, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And she kept just going. Like, she was at it, you know? And it was just this releasing moment of surrender when you're just like, all right, I'm done. Just fill me. Fill me now. And I just got into this. Before this point, I'd never seen a vision in my entire life. And at this point, I've seen a vision of Jesus wearing all white and holding me as a child. So I saw myself as a child holding his hand. And he's just walking with me, and he's telling me, like, I'm walking with you from this point on. Like, it's different now. And I just felt this spirit in the most amazing, magical way possible. So that's my own experience. This is what I went through. So I understand if someone is listening and going, like, you guys are all crazy. You're on some great sauce. I get it. But I experienced the sauce, guys. Yeah. I've seen it. And from that point on,
That secret ingredient
have shown me incredible visions and dreams that I've never in my life thought possible. The dreams I dream and the things I see in my dreams are just wonderful. This whole thing in front of me, I have like a whole notebook filled with dreams and visions, and it's really crazy. But I love it, and I invite anyone that's listening to just seek for themselves what that special sauce is, because it is wonderful. And the past five years, where I walked with the Holy Spirit the way I did, they weren't easy. There was some major transformation and major work, but I would never change it for anything.
Oh, I saw
it
was the change.
It was the best possible change and work I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful.
Well, he's the sanctifier. He changes. So, Remy, what you're experiencing, or what you just described, is what John the Baptist said Jesus would do, right?
Yeah.
And Mark 1:80 said, I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize. He's going to immerse you with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beautiful thing that, you know, you're talking about dreams and visions. That's the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. It says, my spirit will be poured out on all flesh, men and women. And there will be things that happen after that. Peter is talking about that moment in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, when he said, what you're experiencing here, because the crowd was thinking, these people are crazy. And they were people who understood religious tradition and culture. And Peter said, no, what you're seeing is with the fulfillment of what Joel said would come when the Messiah would come. Mm-hmm. And in verse 39, he said, this is for you, your children, and for all those who are far off. And that Greek word doesn't mean in distance. It actually means time and space. So he's saying the Holy Spirit is for everyone who is going to follow Jesus for all time and space.
You know, it's such an encouragement to hear that it is available for anybody.
Anyway.
But the Bible actually addresses that we shouldn't quench the Spirit, that we shouldn't dampen the Spirit, that it needs to be alive. And so, Kyle, can you talk a little bit about what do we do to get the Spirit, number one, but two, how do we have to remove things in our life that will not allow the Spirit to come into us, whether it's lack of forgiveness, whether it's bitterness, whether it's pride, you know, all of these things that potentially would
great questions,
would put a damper on the ability for the Spirit to come in and fill us and yeah. have one of those experiences. Right. You yeah. know, I was reading a book by Max Lucado, and he said that he bought a new printer cartridge for his printer. And he's sitting there, and he's running the printer. And he's like, I don't understand why any ink's not coming out. And so he takes the cartridge out, and he realizes he has one of those little plastic tabs yes, that's yes. on there. And it's running through
that's
the printer.
That's really good.
Yeah. And he goes, as soon as that. I was able to remove that film, yeah. then the cartridge yeah. was able to work in the way that it was intended to. And I think a lot of times we do that with the Spirit. We say, hey, we want the Spirit, but I'm not willing to remove that little plastic piece in my life or forgive that person or ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
So we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but how do we quench the Spirit? How do we dampen the Spirit?
I think it's a great question, Doug, because first and foremost, I would say the Holy Spirit, God wants to be active in your life. So that's where we start from. It's not he wants to just do things yeah. through us. He wants to be active. He wants to have intimacy with us in our life. That's part of his way of having intimacy with us. I think what you're talking about is twofold. I think the moment that we ask Jesus for forgiveness and open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit, his response is immediate. Mm-hmm. When there's faith there, God responds to faith. He said we're called to live by faith. So there's automatically that. I don't think that, you know, the things that you're talking about keep us from being filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm going to say is that that's the Spirit's job. The Spirit sanctifies. We cannot be sanctified. Mm-hmm. We can't sanctify ourselves. We can try our best to clean ourselves up. But that's not true sanctification. It's not changed from the inside out. Only he can do that. So it's absolutely the thought process to say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I need you to come in. And then it is some of those unwillingness to respond to the Holy yeah. Spirit. So when you talk about quenching the Holy Spirit, it's being able to say, I know what you just said, but I'm not going mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So it's the, I know what you're doing, but I'm not going to allow that. So the quenching of the Spirit is on the opposite side of receiving him. It's not previous to receiving him. It's on the opposite side. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people can see the Holy Spirit moving and say, mm-hmm. I don't want any part of that. And so they're unwilling to take a step to faith yeah. to say yes to that. So, but I just want to make sure that our listeners know there, if you are open and willing to God, if you are, mm-hmm. if you're saying like David, create me a clean heart. Mm-hmm. He did not have to create a clean heart and then the Spirit comes. No. He recognized it's impossible for me to do it myself. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. So come on in and then change me.
I talked about the gifts of the Spirit earlier yeah. and how, you know, one may have this and another person may have a different gift. I want to emphasize and make sure, like, all of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they all work together.
Correct.
They all work together, and they're all needed to produce, like, the full potential of the church. And not the church building.
Yes, the church as a body.
Yeah. The church body. And let's never lose sight of this. The gifts of the Spirit are all gifts of grace, but their use and the way they're controlled is by love.
Correct.
And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of all these gifts of the Spirit is love.
Yes.
It's love. And let's always keep in mind, like, it's love. And I posted something recently on social media about how do we, you know, we're always looking for love. Like,
yes.
And how do you find love? How do you know love? How do you get to know what real love is? It's not what it is. It's who it is.
Correct.
It's Jesus. And it's the cross.
Let's make sure that all the listeners know this, that there's no exception to this that is available to anybody that's out there. When we look at suicide rate being alarmingly high right now and people losing their identity, that this is available to anybody that's out there. You are worthy to accept this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it's just, you know, don't sit there and listen.
It's not an exclusive club.
No way. Yeah. It's not like, hey, all those people have it. I could never have that. Right. And that's what the Bible is an open invitation to accept this free gift that
Correct.
God's given to us. And you can accept, you know, Christ's sacrifice and accept the Holy Spirit. So that's what we want to encourage you guys to do is open up and accept the Holy Spirit without any boundaries, without any dampers that are on there.
Yeah, so. Remy said that she was talking about cooking and having you over. It's interesting, Doug. The picture that I hope that our listeners get is that when you accept Jesus into your home, right? Mm-hmm. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, whoever opens up the door, I will come in, right?
Yeah.
It's just a willingness to actually open the door of your life. When he comes in, he's bringing a plate full of food with him, right? This beautiful smorgasbord.
The sauce.
You can't keep him from bringing that in. You can decide whether or not you want to engage in eating that or not, and dining in that, encountering that. But there's nothing that's who he is. He brings that with him.
Yep.
And so that's the beautiful thing. It's not a question of we have to be worthy. You can't be worthy to receive Jesus, and you can't be worthy to receive the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
The Spirit comes with Jesus. And so now you just have to decide whether you want to dine or not.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from New York Jets offensive lineman Kelvin Beachum. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes for Season 1, Season 2, as we kick off Season 3 right now, Doug will tell you how to catch up.
The best thing to do, faithonthefieldshow.com. All the episodes are on there. All Rob's blogs are on there. All of our sponsors are on there. You can check them out. Links to their sites. Subscribe to our email list. You'll get our weekly episode and our blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you follow us on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And make sure you share it out. Leave us a review, too.
Kelvin Beachum was drafted by the Steelers in the seventh round of the 2012 draft. He played four seasons in Pittsburgh. He played 1 year in Jacksonville, and he started every game the past two seasons with the New York Jets. They have a new coach now going into this season. They got a second-year quarterback in Sam Darnold. Last year, Kelvin was a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and when I was at the Super Bowl doing a bunch of interviews and a bunch of shows for AP on Radio Row, one of the guys I had an opportunity to interview was Kelvin, and knowing that he was a brother in Christ and a man of faith, I said, hey, after we get done talking about this, I want to talk about your faith in the Lord, and he was all for it. Such a good guy, such a fun guy to be around. I really enjoyed my conversation with him, and here is that interview. Kelvin, you're a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. This is it's a very prestigious honor that in many ways it means more than winning an MVP trophy or any other individual accomplishment, because it recognizes what you do in the community, how you're impacting people. What would it mean to you to win that award on Saturday night?
You know, it would mean that God thought of me enough to bless me with an award like that. You know, I'm a man. I'm not perfect by any means, but he's allowed me this platform to be able to give back to my community, not only the current community that I'm in, but every community that I've been a part of, whether it's Dallas, my hometown of Mahia, whether it's Pittsburgh where I played, or Jacksonville. And just to be blessed to give back to all those communities and be recognized for it, and just even be in the same category is just an honor and a blessing.
And Kelvin's also an NFLPA Alan Page Community Service Award nominee. In 2018, you helped provide over 1 million meals to people in need by working with Feeding America and their network of food banks. I have a hard time driving by or seeing people who are homeless and not stopping and giving them anything at all. It always happens. I'll go out of my way and drive around a block if I'm on the other, just because I live from the concept of whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And that could be the least right there. That could be Jesus in disguise. Correct. What inspired you? What motivated you to do that?
Man, I think because I was one of those people. I could have been the tables, and I don't think people realize this, the tables could easily be flipped at any point in time. If you're driving that nice car coming up on the highway and you see somebody, it could easily be you standing or sleeping up under the highway. So I think for me is being willing to kind of just consider what the other way would be like if the shoe was on the other foot. And for me now having this platform, realizing that, hey, I'm blessed first and foremost, but that could be me on the outside looking in to where I'm at this point in time in my life.
The more you're blessed, the more you give.
Exactly. To whom much is given, much is required.
I love that. What are some of the opportunities your Kelvin Connects program provides?
You know, it's really finding a way to connect all the dots. It's finding ways for kids to be have access to STEM education, have awareness of STEM education, realize how it converts to not only a job but a career, and understanding how that changes or possibly possibly can change the generational trajectory of your family with the different educational opportunities, especially STEM-based opportunities that are out there right now.
How can people get more information on getting involved?
For sure, you can go to kelvinbeacham.com or follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Have all of those, and be pretty active on all of those and talking about some of the things that I do, bringing awareness to some of the things that I do, and also talking about others, because there's other guys that are doing phenomenal work. Russell Okung, if you want to talk about guys that are really in the community and have really put a stake in the ground there in Seattle with his Greater Movement Foundation, it's just finding ways to elevate others and also talk about the great work that many people are doing around the country.
Now, you're doing so much work to make the world a better place, and then I see this tidbit of information, Kelvin. You play the drums, and you play an organ, not a piano, right? There's a difference between an organ, right?
But the thing is, if you can play the organ, you can play the piano, okay. Vice versa, I feel.
So it's not just one instrument, man, but you're playing two. When did you find the time to learn this?
Man, I grew up in the church, man. That's all we had to do.
Okay.
You had to play the drums. Somebody had to play the drums. Daddy played the organ and the keys. And sometimes the daddy was at work.
Yeah.
I had to get on the keys. My brother got on the drums, and then we would just shift from there.
As we talk about all this work that you do, I know it's your faith that's the driving force. Tell me how your Christian faith pushes you mm-hmm. to serve, to be a servant for others. Mm-hmm. Christ came not to be served, but to serve man.
Correct. You know, again, that goes back to what I talked about earlier. God has blessed me with a phenomenal platform, and the shoe could easily be on the other foot. I realize how much grace he's given me, how much favor he's given me, how much mercy he's given me. And when you think about just how merciful our God is, when we've continued to sin, when we've continued to fall
yes.
short, you realize just how blessed you are, not because of what you have, but what should have happened to you, what could have happened to you if it wasn't for God's grace.
Putting God first isn't always easy, especially in this world. We're pulled
sure.
in so many directions. We're selfish and sinful by nature, but it's a choice
yes,
that we
is.
Have to make daily to put him first. How do you make sure that God is your number one priority, Kelvin?
You know, the thing is I talk about those priorities on a consistent basis. It's God, family, and then football, and it doesn't deviate. You know, it's about trusting God and embracing adversity. It's realizing that if God wasn't for me, none of this stuff would happen. And realizing that it's not only God, it's Jesus Christ who he sent to die for us. And then it was the Holy Spirit who came after Jesus Christ that was there to be the great
preach
comforter.
Preach now. Preach. Yeah. I like what, see, oftentimes we forget. People don't want to tell. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit.
You got to. It's three in one.
Yes.
It's not just God. God created heaven and earth, but then he sent his son, his only begotten son, down to die for our sins. And then from there, when Jesus departed back unto heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, he sent this Holy Spirit
yes.
to comfort us, to convict us, to help us along the way in these daily things that we have going on. When you feel that conviction, it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you.
My man, that's New York Jets offensive tackle Kelvin Beacham, a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Thank you so much for spending time with us here on Radio Row.
Yes, sir. Anytime, brother.
That was Kelvin Beacham, offensive lineman for the New York Jets. We'll talk about that interview and more coming up on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And we're back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Mahdi, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. Kelvin Beacham talks about in that interview, and he was so much fun to speak to, and all the things that he does, I commend him for. And even though he didn't win the Walter Payton Man of the Year this year, Chris Long, Philadelphia Eagles, and all the charity work that Chris does, and he does a ton of stuff too. He was the Man of the Year. I'm sure that's somewhere in Kelvin's future. You know, he might win it again. He's just doing awesome stuff, but everything that he's doing, and Doug, you mentioned this, and it's part of being led by the Holy Spirit. When you're seeking the Spirit and you're asking for wisdom or guidance, and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you in these of giving, of working with people who may need some help, of whatever it is, tough decisions that you have in your lives. When we have a tough decision, like when I, the first time I ever spoke at a prison. Mm-hmm. And I stood up there, and I wanted to share with them as part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry softball team. The first thing I said, like, I don't know what I'm going to say. So what I say is, Holy Spirit, help me, guide me, fill me with the words. Use me in this way to serve the Lord and share the gospel the way you want me to do it. So fill me with that. Lead me in this way. And I guess, you know, Remy was talking about a little bit, like, how do we do this? How do we receive this? How do we fill? It's all about listening. Right?
Yes.
It takes listening to that voice, that inner voice, not the inner voice that sometimes we have, like, inner voice, the crazy inner voice in our head that's telling us, not that inner voice. It's the spirit.
But the funny thing you said that, but there is a distinction between the two, but actually your thoughts, God speaks to you through your thoughts as well. So, but you have to have the discernment to understand the difference.
Correct.
Because you cannot say that you hear God's voice where it's not, I mean, some people hear audibly, I guess. I have not yet, but he does speak through your thoughts. But you have to understand which thought it is. Like, you have to. There's a discernment that comes with the
God's voice. Sounds a whole lot like our voice.
Yes.
Inside of us.
Well, no,
because
it's true.
Right, because Jesus communicated in common tongue to common people.
That's
He could have spoken in any language, but he spoke in the language of the people. And so it's the same way. I agree with you, Remy. Mm-hmm. And then it's the understanding. How do we differentiate between our voice and God's voice? And between that, what is lining up with the word of God? What is coming to fruition?
Yeah.
And you learn to hear those differentiations. Because, you know, I know I don't say this lightly, but, you know, people suffer with schizophrenia. And that means there's lots of voices in our head.
But the truth
is, all of us, in a spiritual sense, in an emotional, mental sense, have that kind of multiple voices in our head. The voices of coaches or friends or things that were good or bad, failures or successes, and the voice of God. So it's kind of learning to discern that.
It takes a lot of fine tuning, and it took me a lot of fine tuning as well. There was a lot of times I'm like, is that me? What's happening?
Yeah.
You know. But it takes you getting down to business with the Bible. Just get down to the Bible.
Yeah, the Spirit will lead you into all truth.
Always.
Yeah.
There's one truth. And it's in the Bible.
I think there is a way to measure it, too. When you think about a spiritual dashboard, you know, God says that when we're connected to the vine, that we will bear fruit.
Correct.
Right? And we look at the spiritual gifts, and we think about the fruit that we potentially could bear, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that if we're lacking in those areas, then maybe we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then when we start to exhibit those things, the whole thing is to give the power to the Holy Spirit, not being like, yeah, you know, look how good I am, look how gentle I am, look how self-control I have,
right?
And we start taking credit for it. So that's the one thing that I would caution people, is that if you start to seek the Holy Spirit and start to really listen to the guidance, don't take credit for it.
Correct.
Right?
It's
I mean, like,
correct.
We get there and all of a sudden we use it as some sort of thing to propel us forward, where it's all about my story, his glory, Rob. You know, we've used that hashtag for the last year, for season two for the most part. But, you know, if you're wondering, okay, how do I know if I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit? How do I know if I'm walking in the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
If you're lacking some of those spiritual gifts, then that's something that you want to address.
I think what you just said is so beautiful, Doug. I would say this. If you think that you're lacking, you're not walking well enough with the Spirit. The truth is, the Spirit of God reveals that you're lacking in every one of them.
So
I can't take credit for anything, because the more that I'm listening to the Spirit, the more he points out areas that I think I'm strong in, that he goes, you're not even close to being the expression of who I am and who Jesus is to the world. So it's that kind of thing. That's the thing that the Holy Spirit, when you're truly are listening, I'm 51 now, and I know less about God than I did. I know less about God than I did when I was 20, because I thought when I was 21 I knew everything, and now I realize I actually know very little.
That's not just about God. That's
no,
just about
myself, about everything. No, I mean,
you know,
it's the truth,
right?
Yeah. But it's the Spirit of God that leads into those things and be able to say, hey, it's not you at all, and look how far. And that's not, for our listeners, that's actually not a bad thing. It's actually an invitation into a bigger life. We look at this and see how far we, you know, how much we failed. And he's saying, no, look how much more life you can live.
Yeah.
So that's the invitation into the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And those two things are very different, by the way.
Yeah.
We can't put those things together. They are different, came from the same source, but they are different and they're expressed differently.
The reality, go ahead, Remy.
It's like you've hit the reset button. on something, and you're trying to reset it to its original setting. So that's literally what the Holy Spirit have done for me. And it's not like it's a push of a button and I'm reset. It's actually a gradual process. And looking back at my 5 years, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I've came a long way. But at the same time, I'm still growing. Like, I'm literally not the same person. I feel like I'm not the same person. Like, he married me eight years ago.
I totally know you're not.
Reset button is doing the work. But it all starts with that one thing. It took one simple sentence from me.
Yes.
I just said, I just want what you have.
Yeah.
I did not know what I'm about to get. Right. I had no idea what I was about to get. I was about to get a whole resetting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that. I didn't even sign up for that. I just said, I just want what you have. And that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Absolutely. If it was left to us, we really wouldn't choose any of those things. We wouldn't choose those gifts because I want to be resentful. I don't want to forgive anybody.
Easy,
right?
You
know? So if we look at that, I want to be angry. I don't want to be gentle. I want to let you have it, man. You know, like, you know, if you wrong me, like, it's better for me to sit here in my own sorrow and my own, you know, wallow in my own resentment than it is to actually turn around and be like, I love you and I forgive you and I'm going to move on from this.
Tuesday.
That is not from us. Like, come on, let's be real with that. Like, and that's where the urging comes when we start to walk with the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, you really need to go ask for forgiveness from that person. Hey, you know, you really shouldn't talk that way.
But those are the things.
It's that thought process of like, these are the fruits that you should be exhibiting in your life. And when you're trying to walk in the Spirit, then you become more aware of them and you start to practice them. That by no means means you're perfect, right? You're not looking for perfection here. You're just looking for, hey, am I able to
progress
and to obtain at the end of the race and hear well done, good and faithful servant. It's a battle too.
Absolutely.
So don't think
you
it's
talk
easy.
About not taking the credit for everything and like look at a guy like Kelvin, all the work that he does.
Yes.
And he's not going around there in Atlanta walking around Radio Row saying, yeah, look at all that I've done.
I'm man of the
year. I'm a man of the year nominee. Like it's not the credit's not coming on him. He's just looking for ways he serves. He's using his platform. We all have a platform, no matter how big, no matter how small. We talk about that all the time. We all have a platform. He may be blessed in certain ways financially that I may not be or you may not be, but we all have a platform and we all can do whatever it is to advance the kingdom, to advance the gospel, to spread the word, to talk about our love for Christ. Man, this was so much fun, guys. It was an awesome topic to dive into. I feel like we could do a series on it.
This is why
we know pastors, you know, you start a series and you go on for a month or you start a series and you do a 7 week series because this is why
it's
when you get
it, to
you,
get
you get into
in.
These topics it really is difficult too. I want to thank everyone, all our listeners, all our followers out there on social media. I want to ask you too, hey, if you could share the word, it would be so cool if you know we don't shamelessly promote ourselves. We don't have an episode and post it 55 times and maybe we should. We don't do this. We don't shamelessly promote ourselves. We just want to allow you to listen, and you feel so compelled. Hey, man, maybe man, woman, boy, girl, old, young, just share. Let people know about this show. Big thanks to our guest today, Kelvin Beecham. A huge thank you and a shout out to Pastor Scott Foreman. Excellent work that he does on our website, our podcast, our blog. He just makes us present a whole lot better. Jim Henderson is doing tremendous work for us behind the scenes. Thank you to our wives for all the time that they allow us to be here. Remy, you are here. Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox, outstanding job producing the show. And of course, our sponsors, as we said in the beginning, 2 years in, we're just kicking off season 3 right now. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Kieran University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.